Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Let's get underway.
Saturdays were made for this. The biggest names and the biggest games right here.
Triple M rocks the NRL.
To our mates at King G, welcome to the Triple M Saturday Scrum.
Yeah, hi everybody, love to have your company. Hope you're enjoying yourself wherever you are in these difficult times on this Saturday afternoon. Tony Squires, Ryan Girdler, Brent Reed, Mark Guy with you. 3 hours we get to share before kick-off. The Roosters taking on the Cowboys. Stirler will join us at 2 o'clock as we head to that game. Anthony Maroon will be doing the calling. So much ahead of us, so much to get through in this COVID world in which we live. We're going to get there in just a minute. Just a few things I have to clear up first. Gertz, it's good to see you back, obviously.
Hey, Tony.
After last
nice
week
to be back.
Not being able to be with us.
Yeah.
For those who listen in Sydney, you would have heard the Dead Set Legend celebrating Wendell Saylor's birthday.
It was quite a big deal.
What operation
that was. I was a little bit
was.
Surprised.
Yeah, I don't, yeah, just 2 full hours of wall-to-wall celebration.
Big deal still outside, just bathing.
I know. So I thought it was obviously a special
birthday.
Wishes.
Yeah, 47.
47?
47.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, 47, is that the new 40?
What are they going to do for his 50th?
Exactly right.
The mind boggles.
They had Mike Munro out there with the This Is Your Life book, knocking on the door.
Yeah.
Prime Minister sending
messages.
No wonder
he left our show and moved to that morning show. Such a... No, it must be the budget, Tony.
So much love.
Yeah.
So much love.
We'll never get him back now.
Absolutely. We've got plenty to get to. Reedy, I understand you're going to break out the surfboards this week. What's happening?
That's the plan, Tony. Oh, yeah, well, I'm going to dust them off. We've got about five of them. I can't ride any of them, but... I reckon it's time we get out there, Tony. Yeah. I haven't surfed in a long time.
You mean stand-up surf? Not
stand-up
in...
surfing, yeah.
Okay.
Not like Ralph Melf.
Surf the web.
Not like Ralph Melf with the ironing board in Hawaii, but...
Get the mouse
No,
out.
Real surfboard, yeah.
Okay, well, yeah. Because I do like that you're kind of, you bring summer into winter, don't you? Because you are, again, I haven't seen you yet wearing long trousers.
No. It's a mental thing, Tony.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, if you don't...
Oh, it's mental,
all right. If you don't think in your mind it's cold,
yeah.
Your body can overcome that.
Go on, know? Wim Hof.
Yeah, Wimmy. Wim Hof.
So, no, it's actually quite, I'm starting to get warm. I'm going to take my jumper off, I think.
Oh, okay.
Oh, don't do that.
Excellent. All right, we're going to get to those games in a minute. We'll get to State of Origin as well, breathing new life into the concept. Freddie Fittler by allowing the 20-18 win as a look at that tyre power scoreboard for Queensland. It was a terrific game of footy. We're going to get to that in a minute. Just first, though, Reed, if you wouldn't mind clearing up where we are at the moment with, as we know, most of the clubs headed north. They're in Queensland. It's a place to be if you want to watch any sport. The AFL's there as well. I think netball has set up camp there. Basically, the entire sporting world has congregated in the Sunshine State. What's the latest?
Well, obviously the big issue at the moment is getting the families up there, Tone. I mean, that's been a setback. The NRL suffered late last week where the Queensland government basically locked the families out. The NRL's working on that at the moment. They hope to have the families up there by the end of next week. And obviously that spills over to a few players as well. Benji Marshall's still in Sydney. And at the moment they're working with Benji on how they will get him up there and his wife, Zoe, and their two young kids. And the two Dragons boys, Zach Lomax and Daniel Alvaro, they're still stuck down here as well. And the NRL's working with them on how they can get them up there over the next week. And
so once they get there now, they can't go straight into their team bubble. They have to isolate for 14 days.
Well, they're still working through that, but I'd say they're going to miss at least 2 more games, those guys, all those guys. So, you know, the NRL's got a fair bit of work to do this week. They've obviously been working around the clock over the past week, but they've still got some issues they've got to resolve. But they're optimistic by the end of next week. They'll have families up there. Benji will be up there. The Dragons boys will be up there, and it'll be full steam ahead.
All right, we also heard last night, and it's kind of not breaking news, is it, the notion that, once again, that Queensland Brisbane Suncorp Stadium will be the home for the grand final should it not be allowed to be played in Sydney?
Well, I mean, it's sort of logical, isn't it? I mean, if all the teams are stuck up there and that's where they're staying, then they'd obviously play the game at Suncorp. There's been a lot of talk about it over the past couple of years. It seems as though it's flared up every couple of months. They play a grand final at Suncorp, and it's certainly overdue for that state, but there is an agreement in place with the New South Wales government. So if there's a chance it can be played in New South Wales with a crowd, I think the New South Wales government will want it in New South Wales because they paid a lot of money, not just this year, but for the next 20-odd years as part of their agreement. So I would think as long as they can get back here, it will be played here. But as it stands right now, you would imagine they're probably not going to get back here before at least into the finals, maybe grand final day.
Is that right?
Well,
is that what they're, because they're talking about it, it's 4 weeks at the moment, isn't it?
It's six. I think they've extended
it
to
6 weeks now.
I mean, okay. I think I spoke to Anthony Griffin on, I can't remember what day it was, Wednesday or whenever the day, I can't remember what day they went up now. It feels like a lifetime ago. But, you know, he was saying that they're, in their minds, they're planning to be there the rest of the year.
Rest of the
and
season.
I think most clubs are that mindset. They're basically thinking we're not going to be coming back. And if that's the case, the grand final is clearly going to be at Suncorp Stadium.
Unbelievable.
How would you be, MG, in those kind
of... I don't know. It's easier to walk a mile in other people's shoes, but I don't know until I was placed in that conundrum what I'd do. I'm a claustrophobic type of guy at the best of times, but I suppose when you're getting paid, I'm still getting paid, and there's a job to do, you've got to do what you've got to do at any cost. And I feel for those guys with the young families, more, you know, in particular, Aaron Woods just had his second kid, and Benji had his as well. These guys who are kind of the senior statesmen of our game, but they've got to, you know, log their whole family to Queensland for a period of time. So it's hard. It's going to be very hard. I don't know. I put the scenario to the show back in, I don't know, a few months ago, when we said, like, how hard would it be for all of us to go to New Zealand and be over there for, you know, 17, 18 months like the Warriors have been here.
Yeah.
Very, very hard. Very hard.
It's interesting, though, isn't it? Because I feel the same way as you, that the players, that there is sacrifice involved in what they're doing, and I think it should be respected. But when Sean Johnson, he was kind of alerted to what was going on live telly. He finished the game, he was being interviewed and was told that this was going to happen, that the hub life was about to begin in Queensland. He said, and you could see he kind of the big sigh first and then saying, and I don't really agree with how it's being handled and how difficult it's going to be with the family. And he hasn't got support from his family who are in New Zealand as well. But then he copped a fair bit from people saying, oh, you know, your family's going up there, it's going to be warm, you've got a paid holiday. But in reality, it's a tough thing, surely, for all these guys.
Surely. Like, we spoke last night, I think Gerds and I, when we called the footy last night about, you know, just how hard it would be. It's different when you're going to North Queensland for a weekend and playing them and going out after it, then coming back to your home ground. This is basically, you're up there. That's away from all extended family, away from friends, and... Again, it's a sacrifice they're making, and it was notable to see in that interview, Tone, how when Jake Duke from Fox said to him, he said, before we get onto the game, there's some breaking news, and he kind of, it was like he saw a ghost, wasn't it? He had to hold back from swearing and going, I don't think I'd be the same. But once you get out of the initial shock, two-thirds of the way through the word, actually,
to be honest.
It's funny though, Tone, because, I mean, I spoke to Christian Welch on Friday, and Christian Welch, he said he spent 3 nights at home in his own bed in the past 3 months.
Yeah.
And he said basically he was on a plane back from Origin on Thursday. When he arrived at the airport, he had a text message from Frank Panisi saying, mate, you might have to pack your bags. We're going back to Queensland. And he said, you know what? I'm just grateful to be playing footy and to be able to earn a quid. So he said, make sure you make it very clear that I'm not upset about it, I'm not unhappy about it, I'm just grateful to be able to keep working, because there's a lot of people who aren't. Yeah. So that's the flip side of it, right? That's a guy who, and I'm sure Sean appreciates how lucky he is, but certainly Christian, I think those Storm guys who've been through, you know, they've barely been home in 2 years, those guys, because they've been on the move so much. So the gypsies of the NRL, that they appreciate how lucky they are, that they're able to keep doing what they love and keep getting paid for it.
And it's going to change the dynamic of the competition, you'd think. I mean, those teams that survive best in that hub life, I guess. Maybe some young guys who don't have family responsibilities and quite enjoy themselves, there they are. But it is going to, we might look at that in more detail as the show goes on too. What about World Cup though, Reedy? What are the ramifications in November in England?
Yeah, well, I think there'll be a decision next week by the ARL Commission that they're not going to send an Australian team to that World Cup. Now, what that means... I think the plan is, well, they had a press conference this week, the World Cup Organising Committee, they want to go ahead, I assume, with or without Australia. Now, but the issue then is so many of the other countries draw their players from NRL clubs. Yep. That's going to be the next issue, whether the NRL clubs can prevent and the ARL Commission can prevent those players and those countries selecting those players and stopping them going to the World Cup. That's going to be the next real fight.
But will they? So, what would be? They'd have to go. They'd have to isolate when they come back. As again, so in terms of clubs getting hold of their players post.
Well, there's multiple issues. Don't one is obviously the COVID situation over there is out of control, right? But the other issue is they would have to go over there for whatever time it is, 6 weeks, I think it is. Mm. Then they have to come back and go on a 2 weeks quarantine. Then they have to get 8 weeks holiday, which is mandated under their CBA. They basically wouldn't come back to training till mid-February, and they'd have 3 or 4 weeks to get ready for the start of next year's competition. So, you know, obviously that leaves them open to injury and not being prepared properly. So that's a major concern for the clubs. But, you know, I think this is going to develop into a really a messy situation in the next week or two.
Well, they just had the Euros over there, didn't they?
They did.
In England?
Wimbledon, yeah. Open Championship.
Yeah. Things are going ahead.
I think the Wallabies are going over there at the end of the year, the All Blacks as well, maybe. Yeah. So that's the World Cup's argument, that all these other sports are going ahead. Yeah. Why can't you?
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, they are 70-80% vaccinated in England as we speak, compared to what, 8%?
I think the players would get vaccinated. I'm told the players would get, if they go, they would get vaccinated before they went.
The Olympic Games, yeah. All the athletes.
Then they'll be fine, Tate.
Well,
once they get vaccinated, they'll be all good.
You'd be happy to go, Gerds, if you were still playing for Australia?
Be happy to go.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
All right, Gus Gould joining the Bulldogs as head of football. Now, he was obviously been at the Warriors in a similar role for some time now, hasn't been able to do a lot with what's going on in COVID. I'm not sure how that changes up with the Bulldogs, but how important is this signature for the club?
Oh, I think it's huge. I think we all know how intelligent Gus is, how connected he is. He's got a connection to that football club, and they're a club that needs some, particularly in their football department. It's been a bit, I wouldn't say aimless is probably the right word. There's been no real direction or strength in there, it seems, in recent months and years. And I think Gus is the ideal bloke for that. I mean, we all know the job he did at Penrith, and, you know, no one knows footy better than Gus. No one's more connected. No one's more knowledgeable. And, you know, he's got a great relationship with Trent Barrett. He's basically been given the keys to Belmore. He is in charge of everything over there, football related. It's all down to him, and I think he's going to make significant changes there, and he's going to make the place better. And, you know, I think the Bulldogs are on the cusp of something. It feels like they've signed some really good footballers for next year. I think they're heading in the right direction. I reckon Gus just tops it off.
What's the situation with the board out there at the moment, Rudy?
That was a real issue, Gerds, because Gus has been critical of the club in the past. I think he called it toxic last year. Mm-hmm. Advised Trent Barrett not to take the job at one point. And there's obviously some political upheaval there. There always seems to be. I think he's got some safeguards in his deal that protect him, depending on what happens with board elections. But, you know, John Currie, the chair, has done a pretty good job there. I reckon he's and he's brought some stability to the place, John. And, you know, I think Gus shows the club's moving in the right direction. And you know, I think at the moment, I'm not sure when their board elections are. They're normally around January, February, but I think the members would be pretty happy that Gus is there now.
MG?
I think it's their best signing of 2022. I think it's a massive signing. I think that having been coached by Gus for a few seasons, he's got the best footy brain that I've ever been around. He's much maligned for his tact, obviously, but he gets the job done. He's what he did at Penrith. Maybe the five-year plan turned into a 10-year plan, but it's a plan that worked. And I think his first eat at the Bulldogs would be to get the pathways happening and to get the junior nursery starting to flourish, as well as maybe a centre of excellence, which he obviously got at Penrith. I think having him in your club is a massive, massive game, a massive game.
General manager of football. So that's the role he had at Penrith, basically, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly the same.
It's not the CEO, so he's the general manager of football. And
as MG said,
you know, putting together funding for things like the Centre of Excellence and those pathways are crucial. And obviously, they don't have an area that's quite as big as Penrith, probably doesn't have as many junior clubs to work with and so forth. But you'd have to think he's going to start steering them in the right direction.
Yeah.
He's been part of putting that blueprint together for Penrith, which has now sort of come to fruition. But he's got some work to do. I mean, they've got some, also with recruitment, I mean, they've got some players coming to that club next year that are going to do really good things. But Gus is also another guy that when Trent Barrett sits down at the table with potential suitors to come over and he's got Gus sitting next to him, adds a fair bit of weight to the conversation.
Massive. Yeah.
Does Trent Barrett feel any kind of the heavy breathing over his shoulder, though?
Breathing over his shoulder.
Who doesn't like heavy breathing? Come on.
I think Trent Barrett would love this. I think Trent Barrett would be doing cartwheels about this because he and Gus have got a long-standing relationship from Origin. Yeah. And Trent's under a lot of pressure there. I mean, they've had a really poor year, and this all started after they were beaten. What was it, 66-0 by Manly? I can't remember what the score was. They got belted by Manly. It was the morning after that this actually kicked off. Buzz Rothfield actually sparked it all when he spoke to John Currie and said to him, mate, you've got to go after Phil Gould again. And John had basically chased him a couple of times
you're
already.
You giving Buzz a credit
I'm giving
this.
Buzz a rat a rap for this, yeah. But John had said, John had actually said, called me great the other day. So I've got to give it return the
favour. He came in this morning and said, hey, look what I've done. Have a listen to this and told us
he came up with the COVID vaccine as well.
But basically, John had tried it.
So he's a trillionaire, good.
He tried a couple of times over 9 months to get him and after that game, I think that was a flashpoint for the club, and they realised we've got to do something here. And he got back on the phone to Gus and Wayne Beavis, who looks after Gus. And
but I also think really discipline wise, Gus is the best. I mean, what good he did to Michael Jennings way back when he made him walk around the field and kind of humiliated him in front of the home crowd, and when he'd done something wrong at the club, players won't step out of line once Gus is there. He's known for his discipline, and he has an aura. And that's exactly what the Bulldogs need. They need someone like Gus Gould. And as I say, it's their best signing. They've made some good signings in Burton and the Fox, and they're still got players going there. But their best is him. By far, he's the best signing.
And what's that mean for the relationship with the Warriors?
Well, it's said in the release that he's still happy to help out where he can.
Gun for hire.
I mean, it's a bit
hard.
It
was the juniors and the pathway development he was still going to be involved in.
I think he's done a lot on that front, but it's obviously been restricted because of COVID. He hasn't really had the opportunity to get back there as often as he would have liked. I don't know. It's hard to see him juggling both roles, really. I know
that's the thing about it, isn't it, with Gus Gould, the amount of work he does, his work ethic. As someone who, you know, finds my 3 days really, really taxing, the notion of he's still going to, I imagine, will still be involved at that nine.
He said that last night.
So he's still going to do that. He doesn't mind taking a lot on those shoulders, does he?
I think he's been paid pretty handsomely, Tony, to be fair. I think the Bulldogs are looked after him. So I don't think he's short of a quid, Gus.
Well, I mean, in relation to their corporate partnerships as well, Rudy, I mean, you play a big part in bringing, you know, the top end of town out to the Bulldogs and getting those people excited, and they're not going to be able to really sell their results this year, but they can certainly sell the future. So there's value in that.
Yeah, absolutely. So
the thing is, Tony, when you see someone like Gus go somewhere or other people like this, they usually find some pros and cons. I can't find any cons about him going there. Yeah. I don't see any negatives whatsoever.
Yeah, I can't imagine any Bulldogs fan this morning not being having a little bit of a jaunty step around today, thinking what is in future for their club. So well done. Gus Gould joining Bulldogs, new general manager of football. Just looking at that Tyre Power scoreboard once more. Queensland 20, New South Wales 18. We'll get to that very, very shortly. The Eels 26 over the Titans 8. Manly 32 over the Dragons 18. This is the Saturday Scrum. We do it thanks to King G.
Triple M, Saturday Scrum for King G. Triple M rocks footy.
MG Gerd, Brent Reed, Tony Squires with you on the Saturday afternoon. Let's rewind. Wednesday, State of Origin 3, also in Queensland. And Queensland got the job done, 20 points to 18 over New South Wales, avoiding the blue rinse. That looked likely, but New South Wales wasn't able to do it once more. What was it, since 2000? Haven't managed to do the three games. But you know what? I was talking to Gerds earlier, Reed. I know you're our token Queenslander on the panel here. I think it's revived interest in State of Origin, that win by Queensland, because had it been another one-sided affair, we wouldn't have been so excited about what's going to happen next year. But you look at that Queensland side with Kalyn Ponga coming back in, the way Ben Hunt, who even knows he's going to be there next year, but it looks like that there's going to be a terrific series 2022.
Yeah, look, you have Ponga for all three games. You bring Harry Grant back in next year, and he and Ben Hunt rotate at nine. Sammy Walker's in the wings. Reece Walsh is in the wings. You got some good kids at the Broncos.
The
Brendan Piacura. Hammer was good. A lot of optimism as a Queensland. A lot of optimism walked away from that game. So we're back, baby. We're back.
Mm. I don't think we go that far, but I'm just saying there is renewed interest. There were a few players out, I don't know if you know, for New South Wales as well, who were Gerd's crucial, Nathan Cleary particularly, who had been running that team quite beautifully.
Yeah, I think it made everyone realise what a great job that he does, and it was probably unfair to think that anyone was going to come in and just sort of manage the team the same way that he does, or manage the game the same way that he does. He has this uncanny ability of just, you know, identifying who's got the hot hand, getting the football where it needs to go, getting to the back end of the sets, working the team around the field. His combinations with Cook, Tedesco and Luai in those first few games, just allowing, you know, Latrell to get the ball when needed, Tommy to get the ball when needed, was been quite incredible. And then when no one else was ready to do anything, he's just got the ability to do something on his own and create something out of nothing. So, yeah, he was heavily missed. And so was Jerome Luai. I think, you know, his ability just to, you know, feed the guys on the outside and the subtleties to his kicking game and defensively been really good. So those two guys had fantastic series and were always going to be really hard to replace. There's no doubt about
but
that.
Tone, the talk about Luai and Cleary not being there, you've got to remember in the first two, well, the first two games, Caelan Ponga played neither of those games. And Caelan Ponga is huge for Queensland. I think we saw that on Wednesday night. You know, Caelan was so invested in that game. I don't think I can remember him ever being so invested in a footy game. Whenever anything good happened for Queensland, he was in the middle of it. He was celebrating. And I think he was amazing. The difference he made when, you know, Valentine Holmes was at fullback, and no disrespect to Val, but, you know, you think back to game two, Val throws intercept at a point when Queensland sort of looks as though they're playing well and momentum's with them, and that shifted everything dramatically. Harry Grant only played the first game, didn't play game two or game three. So we can talk about Luai and Cleary not being there, but, you know, Ponga for me is as important to Queensland as Tedesco is to New South Wales.
Absolutely. He may not be a 40-point differential, which was, you know, the first game.
But still, game two wasn't 40. No. He might be 20.
No, well, you're absolutely right. Yeah. I mean, the difference that he made for Newcastle was, you know, ridiculous. Mm. Ridiculous.
I think we all look at what he does with the football, but defensively, you know, the experience he has, and you look at everyone's comparing his attack to Val's attack, and they're different style of players, and he allows them to get, you know, that width coming out of their own end, and he challenges the edge defenders, you know, all over the park, whereas Val doesn't usually get into first receiver, waits to sort of play off the back of anything, whereas Caelan's a little bit like Tommy to the point where he senses opportunity on the back of momentum. He's happy to get in at first receiver and go and make things happen. But the big play, the intercept with a couple of minutes to go, and the way that he moves, you know, his middlemen around defensively, he has that experience and the knowledge at that level to be able to do that. Val still probably hasn't got a lot of those things in his game.
And I think you talk to people at Newcastle about Caelan Ponga, and I'll tell you, one of the big developments, look, he's become more vocal, but the other thing they say is you don't realise how smart he is, savvy he is, working out numbers in his defensive line. I mean, that's a real strength in his game that, you know, Queensland didn't have in the first two games. So he makes a huge difference. Hopefully he's available all three games next year. Please, please, God.
Well, there's no coincidence either.
Well, he won't get hurt in the World Cup.
It was Tino's best game of the series. Capewell in the back row, they were better.
Yep.
And the odds of Queensland losing three in Queensland were pretty high when you kind of look at it at the aftermath. And those that want to jump on Mitchell Moses' back and say it's all his fault, come on.
Yeah.
He's done what 99.99 of people have never done. And the kid deserved his chance. You know, he didn't get the result, but he had a go. He's tackled all night. They targeted him. He set up two tries. Like, it's so easy in hindsight to bag someone and give it to somebody when they're down. New South Wales won the series pretty easily.
He's a whipping boy, though, isn't he, MG?
I don't want him to turn into another Mitchell Pearce either. Mitchell Pearce copped it for so long.
But Mitch Moses, for a long time, he's just been an easy target for people.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I think people get their back up at Mitch because they have in the past because, you know, he's got a bit of cockiness on the field, a bit of arrogance about him. But, you know, to blame him for that, I just think it's completely out of place.
It was always going to be really hard for him to find a spot because you've got so many guys in there. And we spoke about it in the lead up. How does he get involved? Because you've got four or five guys that like to get the ball at first receiver. And, you know, Tedesco, he tried in vain, obviously, to lead that team into victory, but he got his hands on the football so often that sometimes he got in the way of some of the other guys that needed to get in there and do their job. So, and everyone's sort of saying, oh, you know, Freddie and they got that call wrong. Maybe they did, and hindsight will tell you that they did, but how many decisions did they get right to get us into that situation? Yep. The series was over. They earned the right to make that call. They got it wrong, and they probably put their hand up at some point and say they did. But think about all the little ones that they got right on the way, putting Luai in, you're taking chances on Liam Martin. I mean,
Brian To'o.
They did things in the start of that series and set that platform for them to perform the way they did. And so they got one wrong at the end. It cost us, it might have cost us or contributed to, you know, us not winning 3-0. But the boys won a series and they should be commended for that. They did a fantastic job and whole New South Wales should be really proud of them.
Absolutely. Talking about guys who do cop some flack, Ben Hunt's been one of those blokes. I was really thrilled to see him and his performance in that number nine jersey. He's been great for the Dragons all year, it has to be said. He's shown, I think the captaincy's been really good for him. He's shown terrific leadership. He's a mature player now. He knows he's got the responsibility in a team and he showed it beautifully, I thought.
Well, you know how well he played when people are saying next year that maybe he starts at nine and Harry Grant starts on the bench. I mean, Harry, some people would argue, is the best hooker in the game at, you know, before he was injured. So that shows you how well he played in that game. And, I mean, obviously, I spoke about Kalyn Ponga before, but Ben Hunt was, I think he was man of the match, wasn't he, Ben Hunt? And he deserved it because he was outstanding for Queensland. And, you know, you're right, Tone, I think the captaincy's been the making of him this year.
I think if anyone needed a game like that, it was him. He's been carrying a burden since 2015. Yep. You know, he's been carrying that inverted commas, that catch off the kickoff against the Cowboys for 6 years. And I felt so, being a New South Welshman, I felt so happy for him. You know, I think you're 100% right. Ever since he's been given the captaincy, ever since Hook's got him under his wing, and he's turned into he's taken his game to the next level. And I felt really, really happy for him. No rugby league player is, because they don't go out to intend to make mistakes, you know, and that 2015 grand final has been on his mind for a long time, and I'm glad he had his time to shine.
Yeah, I'm glad, Tony. He stood in the middle after game two and addressed the group, you know, from a guy that was coming off the bench, hadn't spent a lot of time in the series. So then everyone thought, well, he's made a statement, and let's see if he can come out and back it up, you know, with a good performance the other night, and he certainly did that. So he's well respected amongst the Queenslanders and his peers, and he's gone on and delivered at the highest level. So he's certainly on the way up at the moment.
Brad Fittler and his leadership group have copped a little bit of flack for just mentioning the fact that there were three decisions from the referee that he believed were 50-50s and all went Queensland's way. Now, I think the referees have come out and said that those decisions were, for the most part, correct. But I didn't think that Freddie was absolutely blaming refereeing errors for the loss. He was just saying that might have been a small contribution, really.
He didn't need to do it, though, Tone.
Yeah?
Why do you need to point it out? You've won the series. You lost one game, and you didn't lose it because of the referees. So why do you need to point out what they've got wrong? I don't understand why you do it. I don't know understand the necessity for it.
Really?
No. Why?
There's nothing better than saying we was robbed.
I know Freddie tried to couch it in terms where he said, look, it didn't cost us a game. But that's the image it projects, that he's trying to blame the referees for it. Mm. Regardless of what he says, the minute those stories get written, Joe Public reads it, Queenslanders read it and go, oh, look at him, he's blaming the referees for losing the game.
Yeah.
But I know Freddie pretty well, and he wouldn't have said it unless he actually meant it.
Yep.
He's not a guy to smother things. He's not a guy to come out and blame the referees for a loss. If he saw something in the game, he said it was 50-50. It's not saying that they cost him a game.
But why do it, Freddie, MG?
He's a coach. Coaches do that. Every coach does it. Whoever coach who loses says something about the official of the game because they
got asked about it, Rudy, too.
Maybe he just obviously
did want to talk about it. He had an opinion. That's why he's there.
He wanted to blame the referees before everybody else blamed Mitchell Moses. He was just defending his own play.
That's another point.
And the refs were heavy on the whistle. I mean, it didn't stop. Yeah, the amount of six again.
Six to go in that first half.
The whole thing, it was just, I thought they just needed to put the whistle in the pocket a little bit. They did in certain areas when it came to high shots and things like that. But in relation to getting involved in the contest, they did not stop all night.
No. Well, it was a great second half. It was a good Origin.
Good game of footy. It was a great game of footy.
Given what we'd seen the first two.
Great game of footy.
Yeah, absolutely. Was it the right decision? Kick, goal kick, minute and a half out or whatever it was, 50 metres?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
100%. I mean, they had plenty of opportunities.
Oh, they got it.
you hit it. Just didn't hit it sweet enough, but the direction was there. And I always thought it was going to be, he's never going to have a problem with the length.
Yeah,
he's just going to have to get the direction right. But he... Yeah, anyway.
Just ran out of petrol in the last minute, didn't
they? But look, they had plenty of times and they never really clicked into gear with their attack. They looked clunky in key moments during that game. So I thought it was the right call, given the fact that, you know, they had Latrell that's, you know, great at field goals. Mitchell Moses kicked a few in his time. So you had a few guys there that could have dropped one over if we would have gone into Golden Point. And wouldn't have that been exciting?
Yeah.
Golden Point, Origin.
Me in the commentary, that's how good I am in the commentary box. I said that when Val Holmes took that shot, after about 3 minutes. I said, come on, boys, you're on a roll. Try and score. Well, they don't win by 2 points.
Yeah. Exactly. Always comes back to bite. Well, yeah, there you go. I think the bottom line is, though, that Origin is alive and well heading into next season, which is brilliant. What an absolute pleasure to speak to Roosters and just rugby league legend all around, Anthony Minicello. G'day, Minnie.
G'day, boys. How are we?
Very, very well. How's your lockdown going?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. Just at home and hanging around.
Really? You got a go-to binge TV option?
Yeah, we've watched a little bit of TV over the weekend. But, mate, I've just been in the backyard. I'm an outdoors person more than a TV watcher, to be honest.
You're growing veggies, Mincat? What are you doing?
We've got a few trees here. I'm with the in-laws at the moment while we finish off that build. So he's got the chili and basil.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, passion fruit. He's got it all happening. Lemon.
Wait. So you got an in-law lockdown?
Yeah, mate. We've got the in-laws. Well, I'm with the in-laws. So I'm just finishing off a build. So, yeah, mate. It's, you know, all good. Doing the shopping.
Are they listening? How is it really?
Minnie, just between us. Whisper.
Are there any like competitive? Do you play cards or anything? You know, after dinner, what goes on? Bocce.
No, they're older, so they're a bit tight in the hearing these days. So
that's good.
Six hearts. I love it. What about your beloved Roosters? How are they going to cope heading into Queensland? What sort of contact have you had?
Yeah, well, they're up the Sunshine Coast. They're up north, so they're getting soaking in some sun. But obviously, you know, it's what needed to happen because the game, you want to see the game still rolling on during these times. So they're up there. They're, you know, obviously it's been a tough year for them. There's been injury after injury, and there's still still injuries sort of coming out of the squad recently as well. So that's going to be obviously a tough year, but it's a character building year for them, and they've unearthed some youngsters as well, which is good. So we'll see how they go. I think they should they should have a win today. Although the Cowboys have been struggling here or there, and then they put in a good performance. So I think we can get home.
Mitty, I wanted to ask you about a couple of those youngsters, Joe Suwali and Sammy Walker. Suwali, I wonder whether you had much to do with Joe, and what have you made of those two blokes this year?
Not too much to do with him. You know, chatted with him just a couple of times, to be honest. But he just seems a real lovely kid. You know, the physique on him is just unbelievable, you know, for a youngster who's going to still grow into his body and get stronger and faster as he builds up his pre-seasons. He's just sort of – he's had a couple of good games. You know, he's just finding his feet in first grade. Obviously, there's been huge hype around him. So that's a different challenge as well, trying to master that as you sort of make your first grade debut and try and – cement a spot in first grade. So he'll have now the rest of the year off with that slight injury, and he can finish his schooling and then he can really start to focus in on his training and his pre-season. And I think next year will be a huge year for him. Sammy Walker is just, there's not much of the kid, but he's been unbelievable. Like, his vision already as a youngster, young 18-year-old, has just been phenomenal from, you know, I think he was up there with the try assist a few weeks ago. For a young kid to come in and do that straight away, promising signs.
But is is he having nightmares just over and over, reliving Justin Olam just coming in and T-boning him from the side?
I know, like, he's dead set, like 70 kilo or something. So, you know, the boys do have to look after him. But he's a tough kid. He gets up and has a crack. And I think, you know, his body will get stronger as well, which needs to be because he's so young and thin, but you know, he'll get better as well as he builds up another preseason with the Roosters.
Hey, I mean, you took some pretty heavy knocks at the back end of your career, and you had some pretty bad back injuries going into the hamstrings and all that sort of stuff. Mate, how's the body holding up in retirement?
Mate, it's amazing now, Gerds.
You're fit as a fiddle, aren't you?
Obviously, into the health and fitness space with MiniFit and stuff, so I train daily. But no, I feel great. I had obviously the hiccups at the mid part of my career with the back injury and neck and stuff. But mate, I had a disc replacement and a fusion done almost 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's like I got a brand new back. It worked a treat. I feel amazing.
They're not always successful, are they, those operations?
They're not. It's just you got to make sure, obviously, you look after yourself with your training and, obviously, your diet and stuff. But, you know, all my other discs around that are in really good shape. So the surgeon said, mate, I think you'll sort of breeze through this operation. And, mate, I've got it done. And Ted said it was the best operation I've had. Yeah.
Many of these rule changes, we see them come in last year through COVID with the six to go and the captain's challenge, and now we've had a couple more implemented this year. From an outsider looking in, and who is a player who has just recently retired, what do you make of the changes? Which ones do you like? Which ones don't you like?
Yeah, MG, I thought, like, you know, when they changed the six again rule, I sort of liked it at the start, and then they sort of added to it this year. And now I'm sort of looking at it going, oh, have they tried to make the game too quick? And then there's more head knocks because the boys are more fatigued. They're getting their heads in the wrong spot because they don't have enough time to get back in the line. Then you sort of think about it. Maybe the six again it's going a bit overboard. Like I thought they went overboard in the Origin the other night where they just kept going six again. I think Joey mentioned in the call, he's just let them play, you know, just take the whistle out of it and let the guys play. And that's when you see a real good flowing game. So I think, you know, I don't mind the six again rule straight away, but if there's too many of them in the game, I think that can hinder it for sure.
How's the fullback role changed? And when did you retire?
2014.
And so we've seen, you know, a lot of progress, especially to some of those key positions in the last 6 or 7 years. How's the fullback role differ from when you were playing them in?
Well, I reckon if I went back in now and played, I'll get ragdolled. I'm way too light. Yep. like the guy, like Teddy, you know, he's like 97 kilo. You wouldn't believe it. Like he's just got a big power base on him. All of our turbos, 102 kilo. These guys are just fit, fast, strong. And almost the outside backs now, Gerds, are over 100 kgs and just way too strong and fast, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
Hey, Mitty, can I take you to Origin? Different game. Can I take you to Origin? What did you make of Wednesday night?
I thought it was there to be won again by the Blues, to be honest. I thought they could have won and won well. But they didn't play enough footy to mount the pressure on Queensland. And I thought, as I just mentioned before, there was too many six agains and penalties. So let's let the game flow in the game.
All right, before we let you go, are you cooking for the in-laws at all? Who's responsible in the kitchen?
Oh, mate, they eat at five, mate. So.
on a little, we've got a little TV tray in front of the telly, like, are they?
Yeah. Sounds like the inheritance is imminent.
great to talk to you, mate, and we'll catch up again soon.
See you, Mini.
Take it easy.
Welcome to Tony's Spotting Quiz.
Yes. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the quiz. Now, we've just spoken to Anthony Minicello, and I thought, you know what? Why wouldn't we make Anthony Minicello the subject of the quiz? Well, you'll have to use your names as your buzzers. You wouldn't mind testing those for me, please.
MG.
Ready?
RG.
That won't be confusing to me. Right. Will it?
Yeah. Wow, I'm on board.
Yeah, go on.
We've been talking through the week.
You just tried
that gap between the Penrith people.
Oh, no.
That's it, mate. Like it, just don't rock that boat, baby.
I know, it's ironic rocking a boat in Penrith, isn't it?
Yeah. the Penrith River.
That's true. That's true.
Mate, when that dam opens up, Tone, it's free-for-all.
Oh, at Panthers World of Entertainment, where you can do water skiing on the little lake there, the artificial lake.
Aqua Golf.
Yeah.
I love it. We might do a quiz about that next week. All right,
and the other thing about Penrith, every car has a golf club.
Yeah.
Just ready in case.
Tony, your electric car won't get out that far. You'll need a battery charge on the way.
isn't there somewhere I can fill up with
no charges
energy?
On the way, mate.
On the way out?
No, there's not.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm sure there's plenty. In overnight.
I'm sure there's plenty of energy renewing
Stay
stations.
Choice Hotel on the way out there. Plug in and then start again the next day.
Love it. Well, I'm on my way out there, MG. Okay, here we go. First question. He may be the darling of the Eastern Suburbs set, but where was Minnie born?
MG.
Ooh. Yes, MG.
That's a good question.
I think he's in one of the hotspots now, Liverpool.
Yeah.
He is in Liverpool, as was I. The only place to be born, ladies and gentlemen, Liverpool right? Hospital. Yep. How many premierships has he won?
RG.
Yes, RG.
Three.
Two.
Really? Gosh, two. Oh, I was going to say two.
Were you? Yeah. I'll give you the point anyway because I like you. No, what did you say?
What did you say?
Two. I was going to say two, yeah.
He played in about 75 grand finals, but he won two. What position did he play in the Roosters 2002 Reedy. Grand? Oh, yes, Reedy.
Wing?
He did. Win over New Zealand. What year did Anthony Minicello win the Golden Boot as the game's best player?
That's a
yes, Reedy.
2001.
Can I just stop the clock there for a minute?
That's a good one, Tony.
Yeah. I get saying a good question isn't a correct answer, no, okay? True. And we'll get you no
but
points.
I just get surprised
but
when you come
for
up
the
with
love.
A good one.
Do you really? Okay. Yes, back to you, Reedy.
2001?
2005. Listen to this.
MG.
What did he do in 2013?
Represented Italy.
RG.
Yes.
Dancing with the Stars.
He actually captained Italy in the World Cup in 2013. MG,
I couldn't hear the English were booing.
No. you've just come to life. What happened?
Yeah. I don't think he's taking it seriously, though, Tom.
I know.
He's disrespecting the game. World's greatest game show segment.
Yeah, he is. Well, this is
the music.
Yeah.
It's a bit like Sterlo with Believe It or Not.
I know.
Yeah.
They don't buy in, do they?
No, come on.
They don't buy in.
Sterlo's listening on the way down from his palatial home now, so when you get in here, brother.
Yeah.
What were the people of
Believe It or Not, it's the best segment on the radio.
The Glittering Awards Ceremony. Yeah, that's where we won the best segment on radio in the Southern Hemisphere. All right. Minnie played 302 NRL games for the Roosters. At the time, it was the most in the club's history. Who did he go past
RG.
To set that?
MG.
Yes, RG.
Taking this seriously. Lou Brickerton.
Because you've got an answer correct. Okay. Yeah. Well, back that one up, Sunshine. Who went on to go past that mark in 2020?
MG.
Oh, SMG.
RG. RG.
Yes, Mitch Orbison. True or false? Minnie won the sexiest man in league contest in 2000. Yes, MG.
He won it. Yes,
no,
he did.
No, he didn't.
No,
he came
didn't.
Second.
Matt Cooper.
Sixth.
Yeah. Seven with only 7%. Sorry, Minnie. Ben Ross won it in 2005.
What?
Can you believe it?
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
What was that sport? When his arm was in the soccer? Or else?
No, apparently, it was much more interesting with that loose arm.
You've just become a mischievous all of a sudden, you know?
He's a troublemaker.
The naughty boy in the back
he's
of the
like
classroom.
He's like Woody Woodpecker. Agitator.
Woody Woodpecker. What sport other than footy did he enjoy as a young man?
MG.
Yes, RG.
Polo.
MG. I know
yes,
this one.
MG.
Gymnastics.
Correct. All right, and finally, listen to this.
These boots are made for walking.
What has that got to do with Anthony Minicello? Yes, MG.
His wife,
he's Italian.
Terry.
Yes.
She is a shoe manufacturer.
She is indeed. Oh, congratulations.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot, and strong. Install a Ream.